Have you finished typing in the corner there? There was some frantic keyboard action going on. I'm thinking, shall I unmute the microphone?
I'm just troubleshooting.
What's the trouble this time?
Some people can't see the live player. Some people won't be able to hear this.
Oh. Should we play the song again? Should we give him more time?
No, it'll be fine. I'm sure we'll waffle for long enough anyway.
Okay. People will catch up. Why can't I see the live player? Where's the who's stolen it? Who's stolen it?
I don't know. No idea.
Okay.
It seems to have turned up now.
Good. So. Righty-ho. Are we ready for another Feet Up Friday? It's been a while.
Yeah.
Our run of continual Friday shows came to an abrupt halt almost immediately after the opening ceremony for the Olympics.
Yeah.
The Olympics stole you from us.
That would be my fault. We had lots and lots of weeks off because you weren't very well. And then I wasn't
that
very...
That was ages ago.
Yeah, no, let me finish.
Oh.
I wasn't very sympathetic because I was missing out on my shows. Then along comes the Olympics, bam, 2 weeks of no shows. And that's all my fault.
Yeah, but it's done now.
We're even now.
Are you over Olympic fever? Are you back on the Formula One? Is it back in your field of vision?
The Olympics was brilliant, but that is compartmentalised. F1 is back on top.
The previous Feet Up Friday wasn't the most relaxed affair. We were running to a clock. We were on a deadline.
Yeah.
And we actually managed to finish the show in time for you to watch that opening ceremony. But I'm hoping that this show will be far more chilled, far more relaxed.
There's no time pressure. We don't have to finish with an hour. I won't have to edit it during the athletes' parade. It's all good.
Is there anywhere you need to be this evening other than right here, right now, recording this show with us?
No.
I say us because there are people. There are you and I, but there are people in the world, in the comments, joining us live. They are tuning in on a Friday evening.
We live stream this nonsense.
Absolutely. And there they are. So is there any kind of shout-outs we can give? Anyone we can say hello to?
Yep. Stephen, Jana, Bassano, Will, Dreamland.
Dreamland is a new name.
That's a nice, relaxed...
I know Dreamland from the comments, but that is a perfect name for Feet Up Friday, isn't it?
Lukey and Davin. And anyone else who I've missed, apologies.
Hello. I don't have a link for the live stream. Why doesn't Davin... I mean, it's no good me telling Davin where it is because he can't hear it. Can somebody in the comments...
Well, it should just be on the page.
It's if you go to the dashboard, it's pretty big. It's a big button. There's a big player in the top right.
What's the playground? I could put that in there too.
That's a good point. That's a backup stream for anybody who's struggling to tune in on the more esoteric of devices, let's say. Just going to adjust my headphones for a second. Excuse me. How does this sound? That's more like it. That's what I want to hear. Talk to me again. I had the wrong setting on there. I had your mix and I couldn't hear me.
Was all that going into the show then? Because I was not ready.
For what?
Was that all like part of the podcast?
No, that's just the live.
Oh, because it sounded very official and I was not on it.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. This, as far as I'm aware, we haven't started Fuff. We're merely introducing and saying hello to the live.
That's
live
all good. Level. That's fine. Thought, gosh, we really are going right into it.
We can. I mean, you can keep it if you feel like it's worth keeping. Maybe we're just that good.
Well, it was an all right introduction.
The
think.
Outtakes are better than the show.
Explain the Olympics thing.
Hello to Lou's mum. There you go. There's a guest we haven't had before. Well,
is it
the first time she's listened? This must be the first time Lou's mum has joined us for a live show.
They're cooking.
What are they cooking?
Food.
What? Okay. Yes. Any more information than that?
Greek food.
For what purpose?
To eat.
Uh-huh. This is helpful.
It's dinner.
I like the backstory. Okay, right.
What else do you want me to say?
I don't know. Thought it might be something exciting, something I might desire.
My mic stand is creaking.
Okay, everything in this studio is creaking. It's time for a refurbishment. Yeah, my microphone stand is buckled. You know when you tighten a screw so much that you effectively it crushes the thing that it's pulling together? That I've got a bolt holding this microphone stand together. It's buckled the very weak metal.
But my favourite thing is it fell down and I said, oh, that doesn't look very good. And you're like, no, it's fine. Then it fell down again. I was like, no, it's properly broken, but you wouldn't have it.
It's got to be. It's hanging in there because it's expensive, but it's going to have to go. And it sounds like yours is on its way out too.
But also because we've got our squeaky chairs, which have been sort of a mainstay of the shows recently. But I tried to buy a gimbal because silent they are. Mm. Awesome for sitting on. But it was too small and so I couldn't even like reach the desk. It was ridiculous. So I had to take that back. And so I'm still on my squeaky chair. Sorry about that.
Just sit still.
I try.
It only squeaks when you move. Will in the comments said, can we bring back cocktail suggestions for the Feet Up Friday?
We can, but I have to be more organised.
Right. So no, not yet.
Yeah, well, we're still not back on them on the wine or anything yet. We're just, yeah.
Yeah, well, of course, we're sober. Yeah. Sober Side Podcast. Oh, my goodness
me. At the moment.
Yeah, we will have to come back with a bang. There is Nalinho. Hello. Hello, hello. There are more people turning up in the comments.
He's in Latvia.
What?
It's a bit, I don't know if exotic is the right word.
It's very international.
Far flung.
I do not know if we've ever had a live listener from Latvia before.
He's not listening live.
He's
just saying hello.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
He can't hear you.
That's no good. Well, I'll stuff him.
Harsh.
Oh my goodness me. Right. And hello to Fiox.
Funny.
Sobriety is overrated. It is. It's enforced sobriety, though. Shall we?
It's like half enforced and half like you sort of get used to not having it, don't you? And then
yeah, well,
it's, it's not on the shopping list anymore.
I quite liked the weight that I lost by not drinking 4 litres of wine a week, actually. It's amazing. I'm sure to most people this won't come as a massive surprise.
When you drink a lot and have midnight snacks.
When I live on solely wine and cheese as a staple diet 7 days a week, it turns out it increases your bulk a little. And then cutting it out of your life, it virtually falls off you.
Reduces it. Amazing.
Mm. There's some insight, health insight.
Podcast advice, health advice.
Coding with wine and cheese.
You know, they have...
For 6 months, not good.
Radio 1 has like that Sunday surgery thing. Where they take calls and give out advice and on all kinds of like, teenage issues.
Okay.
Health or otherwise, since it's like the side pod version.
Mm. The things that I've learned this week.
Anyway, we should probably stop waffling.
Okay. You said it was a great introduction. I needed to bring it down a notch or two.
Yeah.
Are you going to do the introduction to this?
Well, it depends.
Okay.
Are we going to keep that introduction or not? I'm editing in my head again.
I don't mind. I'm happy to do another one.
Sounds like heaven. I'll send you right there.
I kept it up for 6 months. It was impressive.
Mm.
I don't know if I could keep it up any longer. I think that was probably the limit.
Well, there's a reason that, you know, eventually your body says no.
Mm. It does. Stop that coding. Get out of that chair. And dance. That's what my body said. Not to anything in particular.
Dance.
Yeah. Just move a little. All right. So do you want an introduction to Fuff? Shall we have it for the offline listeners? Should we do that?
So we've got to talk about the Olympics again.
It's not in my show notes. Oh, no, I'm on page 2. Hold on. No, I'm on page 1. I don't have anything about the Olympics.
But how is she going to introduce the fact that we didn't do it and stuff?
Okay, keep that introduction. I liked it.
Right, okay, good.
Oh, man. I don't want to talk about the Olympics again. We'll be purely repeating myself.
Yeah.
Where are you starting then?
I will start at the beginning.
Good. Go for it.
We are right in the middle of the F1 summer break. It's not much like summer outside my window and hasn't been for weeks, but the news is it's scarce. So it definitely does feel like summer holidays.
Formula One has embraced the concept of shutting down. When it says it's going to switch off, it truly does. In the past, there have been things, events, and entertainment scheduled for these periods. But I think Formula One is collectively said, you know what? It's a really, really, really long season.
There's a lot of races.
And we are definitely going to take some time off. And that is what they've done.
Yeah. It's been a bit disappointing on the F1 minute front because there just hasn't been any news. I mean, I could scrape news together like some places do. But there just hasn't been anything worth doing. I just want to say this now because I don't want people thinking that I'm lazy. It's just that
you haven't abandoned the F1 minute.
No.
But it is solely a quality news show, and there is a lack of quality news. Formula One teams are not making any. Nothing is being said.
Best news of late, though, everyone's heard it now, everyone's laughed at it already, but we have to mention it. Pastor Maldonado and his spectacular fail.
That's the best joke in F1 right now, isn't it? Pastor Maldonado. Bless him.
Just as a concept.
The Williams team decamped to Venezuela so that Pastor, bless the lovely guy.
It was a big homecoming celebration. Yeah. This is your race winner from Venezuela. Didn't they fly out Frank Williams and Toto Wolff?
Mm-hmm. It was a full-on party
going
on down there. He was going to demo the car. Was he going to do 12 laps, a dozen laps in his Formula One car for all the fans who turned up and attended and wanted to see the guy in action? Because there's no Formula One races in Venezuela. You know, that this is probably the only chance they're going to get to see a Formula One car in action this year. And what did Pastor go and do?
Well, I thought that 12 laps actually sounded like quite a lot for a demo. Usually, I mean, I don't know how long the lap was, but usually these kind of things, they just come out for a bit, do a couple of donuts and then go back in again. Maybe go up and down the street once or twice. So I thought 12 laps, that is pretty darn good. Good value for the fans. But they actually only saw perhaps 1.5.
If that, yeah. Before the man crashed.
That curb got in the way.
His car.
Roads were too bumpy. How dare they?
I'll tell you what, next time that you go out in your road car and you're driving down, say, a quiet country lane in the dry with no distractions and no other cars on the road, you make sure you keep an eye out for those pesky curbs. They are lethal and they are likely to strike at any time. Be warned, people. It's a scary, scary world out there with those dangerous curbs.
But how can your road... He must have been expecting... It's a public road or a parade ground or whatever it was. You must be expecting some bumps. I mean, I can't imagine they sent him out somewhere where there's massive potholes and stuff.
I've only seen the same video that everybody else has seen online. The road looks perfectly normal to me. It's reasonably flat. It's dry. It's wide. The guy turned his car in as if perhaps he'd never driven a Formula One car before. It came as a surprise to him that his engine was behind him. And it decided to follow him round, and then he bent it on the curb. And he didn't just clip the curbstone and knock a wheel off. He wrecked that car proper, destroyed that car.
I mean, they said that they couldn't continue afterwards. They obviously couldn't because they had to fix the car, and then it all came to an abrupt halt because of an electrical storm or something. But I can't believe that they would have let him out again anyway.
I can't believe they'll ever let him out again. I wouldn't trust him in a car again, you know, any car at all. Imagine if he borrowed your car and did that to it. You'd never speak to the man again.
Perfectly capable of doing that to my car myself, I think.
You couldn't do as bad a job as Pastor Maldonado did if you deliberately set out to do a terrible job.
But I think it's certainly fortuitous timing then that everyone's favourite test driver, Valtteri Bottas, has been speaking about his future and says he wants to stay with Williams forever. He said, it's already my third year with the team and I feel like it's home here. So the ideal would be to stay and I would hope for a long career with Williams. So he's sharpening his elbows for one of the seats. And talking specifically about Maldonado, he said, it's nice to see that I can match him and sometimes be quicker. And still, I feel there's much more to come if I get to drive more. So he's got one rival in his sights.
He's got the wrong rival in his sights because there's no, short of Frank Williams winning the lottery, there is no way Pastor Maldonado is going to be leaving that team anytime soon. And it doesn't matter how many cars he smashes to pieces. It doesn't matter what damage he does. He can pay for it all. The sponsorship money he's bringing to Williams, effectively, he can destroy every car they give him and still they can afford to give him more. He's not leaving. So essentially, Bottas is only after.
Money does not cover up embarrassment, though.
Well, it doesn't. But to his credit, Maldonado has that one race win this season. So, you know, you can't turn around and say, well, you know, Bruno Senna's doing a much better job than him because...
Yes, I can.
Well, you can struggle about... I mean, in terms of bringing home any points since his race win, then Bruno Senna is doing a better job. And I thought, and we'll talk about him later in the show.
Crashing cars, not upsetting the rest of the paddock, not wrecking it in your home country.
Okay, you've got a strong argument there, but I just don't... Until Williams come up with some kind of sensible business strategy for running their team... I can't see how they can shift him.
I get it. He brings a lot of money to the team, but
massive amount of money. Yeah, though. It's not just like a lot of money; it's a big truckload of cash.
But he also brings a lot of embarrassment. If I was a sponsor, I would not want to sponsor that car. I wouldn't want to be involved with the team anymore. I would be running in the other direction, away from them as a whole. So I get it. He does bring money, but I think there must be other drivers that can bring some money and some good reputation as well. Okay, you don't want... Money isn't going to make up for driving the car and the team and the whole concept of Williams into the ground.
That's true.
Which is a bit of an overstatement, no, but give him time.
That is what that is effectively, at least in terms of team morale, is likely what he's doing. But the thing is, I don't think Bottas brings much money at all. So therefore, he's not. You say there must be some driver, yeah, no. But not Bottas.
Not him, perhaps. Someone out there. Anyone.
My guess for next year is that it's going to be Bottas replacing Senna, which would be a shame.
I hope it didn't sound like I hated him too much. I think I got away with that one.
Right. What's is that one done? Do you want a sweeper?
Yeah.
I missed that comment, but I've seen the replies. He wrecked the car in the mid-season break, and Williams still haven't fired him. That's a great, great comment. Stephen said Bottas brings no sponsorship. It's going to replace Senna.
Doesn't have to be him. Anyone. There must be a driver out there that has some money.
But if you're Frank Williams, you don't want to let Bottas go either, because he's looking like another Hulkenberg.
Okay,
they already let Hulk go.
If it's Bottas versus Senna, that's a different argument anyway. I mean, that's what you're saying is going to happen. So that kind of...
Well, Senna's in a terrible position anyway, because Senna...
I guess the difference is Senna has the name and Bottas doesn't even have that. Well, no, he's got no money and no name.
The problem Senna has is Bottas keeps taking Senna's seat on a Friday. So Senna's got less time to make an impression when he's out of the car, especially when Bottas crashes it on a Friday and affects his Friday afternoon too. So, I mean, Senna's in a lose-lose situation, but at least he's in a Formula One car and at least he's not in a Marussia. What's next on your list?
Well,
the race.
Apparently there was this race. It's like 7 weeks ago.
You can't remember, can you?
No.
Do we feel, I mean, I don't know if this is a chilled out show, as I was hoping it was with you getting stressed out over Pastor Maldonado. We should drop it down another notch. You got a little bit flushed. Well, he stresses you out.
He does stress me out. I quite, on the flip side though, I sort of like that he's there as something interesting to be stressed out about, because so many of the drivers are like robots and just go about their business.
It would have been boring if he just did a demo run and succeeded.
Well, yeah. So while he does stress me out, it makes me very angry and it's ridiculous. Equally, it's something to talk about.
We need a Luca Badoa every year, and that's ours this year.
With the lack of F1 news of late, I guess we have to rewind a bit and talk about the race in Hungary, because we haven't done a show since then. Apparently. I can't remember. It's 3 weeks ago.
This must be hugely tough for you. You can't remember a race when we do a show a week after it.
Yeah.
Let alone after you've watched a whole bunch of other sport and all sorts of things have happened in the meantime.
Well, I'll tell you, this is possibly the worst scenario of all, because it was 3 weeks ago. There was 2 weeks of some amazing sporting endeavours on my TV. We also only watched the highlights because it was on the BBC, and it was the worst race ever.
It wasn't the worst race ever. It was the worst, arguably. Let's work this through in my head. I think it was the worst race of this season. Yes, it was.
Yes. There's a statistic, isn't there, that we are averaging about 40 or 50 overtakes per race, which is amazing considering how F1 has been in the past few years. Mm. So this season, we have been spoiled to some degree. But even in Valencia, there were 79 passes for position during the course of the race. In Hungary, 16.
1-6.
Yep.
That's considerably down on the rest of this year. Valencia, not a circuit known for great overtaking opportunities. And how many?
79.
That's a massive, massive amount. But that's how high the bar is set in 2012 for a Formula One race to impress. And Hungary fell well, well short of that. I mean, it never even came close to being an exciting or interesting race. And again, we were watching the truncated highlights.
Yeah.
And they were boring as anything.
That is tricky. I feel sorry for the people that sat through the whole thing. But for me, all of the interest was on the first, well, not even the first lap, because if you recall, so many weeks ago, my prediction for the Hungarian Grand Prix winner was Michael Schumacher. Now, if you watch this race, you'll know what I'm about to say. I got distracted. Sorry. If you watch this race, you'll know what I'm about to say, but it was such a catalogue of failure that I just have to list it out because it's ridiculous.
Please do. I shall not enjoy this in the slightest, obviously. But take your time.
Schumacher, he crashed on Friday in practice for the second weekend in a row. He qualified 17th on the grid. He lined up in the wrong space after the formation lap, caused an aborted start.
And we're laughing at Pasta?
Switched off his engine, which was overheating. He was pushed into the pit lane and picked up a puncture. When coming in for his replacement tyre, he got a drive-through penalty for speeding in the pit lane, and then he went on to retire from the race. Has anyone ever had, I mean, barring, you know, serious injury, has anyone ever had an unluckier weekend than that?
Not that I can recall, no. I'm just thinking right now, we've just spent the last 5 minutes bashing past Maldonado, but at least he can pick the right grid spot.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot.
I don't know how that happens.
Some of that is, no, you just follow the next, surely it's 1, 2, 3, and especially if you've been on the grid as long, anyway.
Yeah.
Some of what happened to Michael Schumacher was unfortunate in Hungary, and some of it was brought on entirely by his own doing.
Oh,
and by you jinxing.
I thought you were going to blame it on
him.
Me.
Never, ever predict anything again.
I think I need to draw a line under the prediction.
Poor drivers. Michael Schumacher, the accident on Friday was his fault. He wasn't concentrating and he lost it. No, what was that the week before? He's crashed so many times in Friday. Hold on. The puncture wasn't his fault. The drive-through was his fault, and not stopping on the right grid spot wasn't. I think he turned his engine off because it was overheating. So there was some bad luck coupled with some very questionable decisions, which compounded his terrible, terrible weekend. Whatever happens in Spa, it can't get any worse. Although, in the last show, I did say on Friday, once you crash on Friday, the weekend can only get better.
Oh, so it's not just me that makes rubbish predictions.
His weekend didn't get any better, did it?
No. It is worth saying, though, you predicted Hamilton for the win, and Hamilton won the race.
So listen to me, folks.
They're like polar opposites. Your driver was at the top, mine, very bottom.
Mm.
Brilliant.
It was a great weekend for Hamilton. I very much enjoyed his race. I think he needed that. I think it was he had a great positive attitude going into it. He had some bad luck this season, but he nailed it in Hungary. He took the lead from the start, never looked back, never looked like being beaten.
Just checking a fact. Doing research, people.
Why?
Hold on. It's just that I realised this thing Hamilton said this week about how he's got less baggage now, and that's why.
Mm. Drop that in if you've got a quickly grabbed quote.
Quickly grabbed.
Mm.
Phil.
Oh, you haven't got it. You're looking for it.
Looking.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll read some comments there. What have we got? Correction, his weekend didn't get statistically any better. I thought he could. Okay, yep. I thought he just got better and better and better. That's me.
The
rudeness of the comments. You wouldn't catch us doing the same things like that, would you?
It was such a bizarre catalogue of fail. How does all that happen? There must be other stories like that, but...
Did anyone in the comments think of a driver who had an unluckier weekend than Michael Schumacher? I don't fancy anyone achieving that, but just in case somebody did, would be worth bringing up. No.
Steven said it was his favourite Schumacher race ever.
I tell you what, I'm so glad he made a comeback. Aren't you? After all that fuss I made about him coming back to Formula 1, I am so glad he did.
Can we have that in writing, please?
This was the event that I almost gave up on Formula 1 because of him coming back. And look what happened. How wrong
was I? Look what you'd have missed out on. Right, I'm ready now. Are you ready?
Sorry, I was just laughing at Will's coming. If you're listening back to the live show, I insist that you follow the comments live while it's going on, because you... That's seriously brilliant today.
Bizarre. Hamilton did say this week that, he sort of admitted the whole thing that we knew already about his personal life getting in the way last year. And he essentially said he dumped all that baggage, had better personal life, and so that's why this year is going well.
I see. Yeah, well, we did. Yeah, it was clear to see from the outside looking in. Maybe if you're in the middle of that storm, that it's not entirely, it's not always easy to see the way out. Last year, his season did not go anything like according to plan. There was a lot of downs and not many ups. This season, much, much, much better. So whatever he's changed, good on him.
He says, I don't have any particular problems going on in my life or any baggage. Fortunately, I have dumped all that in the dumpster, which is very American, and it's all good now. He actually said, and last year I had a big, big sack. Fortunately, I've dumped that in the dumpster.
Who on earth is he referring to?
I'm not reading all that out. Okay. One thing that did stick out from the Hungarian Grand Prix, and I do remember, is that I thought Kimi Raikkonen was a bit mean to his teammate. I was quite indignant about it for about 10 minutes, and then I got over it.
So this, I'm assuming you're referring to Raikkonen exiting the pits and pushing Romain Grosjean onto the grass. This is the sole interesting event during the Hungarian Grand Prix, correct?
Apart from all the Schumacher stuff, yes. And I thought it was really cheeky, and I was quite offended. And then I realised that no one else was. And then after the race, I realised that Grosjean didn't care. So I thought, well, I'll get over it too then.
So you were indignant in defence of Grosjean.
Obviously.
But correct me if I'm wrong, on the first lap, in the first corner, did Grosjean not push, was it Vettel, out onto the grass himself?
He did the same thing. I'm not saying I'm consistent.
Okay, but you're fine. But so you don't hold a grudge against Kimi Raikkonen. That's important going forwards.
Yeah,
exactly. You forgive him. I have to say I very much respect Lotus for letting their drivers fight it, properly fight for that position. They could have, if that had gone wrong,
if it had
they
been
would
pasta.
Have looked, well, yeah, they know that neither of their drivers are past the Maldonado. But if that had gone wrong, they would have looked a bit silly and questions would have been asked of them. I'm glad that they had they gave the drivers credit enough to not take each other out. They gave each other just enough space and no more. Kimi came out the better. And I think that was good because, I mean, he was the more racy of the two and the man who was more likely to take it to Raikkonen. Grosjean had his time, didn't make an impression. And then it was up to Kimi to have a go himself.
Did you just say he's going to take it to Raikkonen?
Did I? Do I need to say that again? Hold on. How did I come in on that?
They were letting them race.
If the move had gone wrong and the drivers had taken each other out, the questions would have had to be asked, or questions would have been asked of the team. They know their drivers. They know the drivers well enough to trust them to race, and it was the right thing to do. And Grosjean had a chance to have a go at first place. He hadn't made an impression. And then Kimi, I think, made a better job of it, even though he still couldn't overhaul Hamilton.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's good from Lotus, really, because Grosjean isn't completely averse to having a crash or two. He's still relatively new. But they've taken lessons from McLaren rather than Ferrari.
Yes. Well, I mean, if you look back throughout history, the Lotus team, previously the Enstone team, have always been a racing team, and they've always let their drivers race, and that's good. That is why I supported them when Alonso was beating Schumacher. That was one of the appeals of that team, and it looks like they've kept that. They haven't forgotten that despite losing so many personnel during the last year. But they're still the same team at heart.
It's interesting that I say Grosjean is still quite new. Well, Pasta's still quite new too, but I don't give him any leeway for that.
Romain is effectively a rookie, though, isn't he? And he did 5 races. And then he had, 2 years off? Mm. And he came back.
Magnum animus.
Oh, I love the comments. It's worth doing a live show just to read the comments, isn't it? It could be the worst live show ever.
Yeah.
But as long as we get to read the comments, it's fine. It's all good. Where are you going from Lotus?
Well, then you've got Senna, but I'm not sure we want to go over Williams again.
No, okay. Fine. I thought Senna did really well, but it doesn't really fit, does it? I should have mentioned it earlier. It was a good drive. Frank said it was a good drive.
Just tell the people.
Tell the comments. It won't go in the show. All I've got scribbled in the corner of my show notes, it said Frank said it was a strong drive and it was his coming of age in Hungary. I thought it was his first time into Q3 or one of the only times into Q3 this season. And it felt like he'd got a handle on on the Williams. I just thought he deserved a shout out for it, but you're right, it doesn't really fit.
How many curbs has Romain viciously battled with? That's a good point. It seems like we can't go a race without a little bit of a Red Bull controversy. Or I suppose we can't really go a season without some Red Bull controversy. It was the second race in a row where they've been in trouble. The first time it was the throttle thingy. And this time it was hand tool suspension stuff.
I love your technical explanations.
That's what I'm here for. I try and break it down for you know, the listeners.
It was the throttle thingy,
hand tool suspension stuff.
Excellent. I hope all the listeners are now fully clued up as to what Red Bull were doing. There was, upon investigation from the FIA, it was suggested that the Red Bull suspension could be adjusted without the aid of a tool. It could be adjusted by hand, and the regulations specify that you must only be able to do it with some form of tooling. So you can't, for example, twist something during a pit stop or adjust something. You know, should anybody feel like that might be the kind of thing they want to do. And Red Bull were caught. They were busted for not complying with regulations. The FIA said change it, so they changed it. It was a minor story, but Red Bull aren't getting any quicker with each of these clampdowns on their rule transgressions, or at least rule in interpretations of the rulings as they see it. The car is being slowed each and every time.
Yeah, well, I've got two quite significant quotes for you. Adrian Newey said, we've been working with Renault and were suddenly faced with a clarification that was a different interpretation to what we thought we were operating to. That's where we are, and we've got to go back and have a fresh look. So is it like going back to the drawing board every time?
Well, in Newey's case, it literally is going back to the drawing board and then thinking, well, what other rule has every other team overlooked that we can... we can make the most of, or we can push slightly farther. And that's what Newey is great at. And you have to give the guy credit. You have to give the team credit for continuously innovating.
Well, that's what
every time they get caught, it's for something else.
That's what F1 is supposed to be about, is the pushing forward. Otherwise, it would just be a spec series. Because there's also the quote from Christian Horner, who said, from HRT to Red Bull, every single team interprets the rules. Otherwise, every single car would look the same. Part of our strength is our ingenuity, and I don't think we should be criticised for being creative.
Nope.
So I think he was getting a bit fed up with everyone saying, oh, you rule breakers.
I admire the fact that Red Bull are pushing everything in every direction. That's incredible. All credit to them. I like that the FIA are smart enough to catch some things. I think last year... perhaps Red Bull got away with it a bit. You know, they pushed things and got away with things more than perhaps they should have done. And at least the stewards are on it this year. And that, you know, if for example, Red Bull were to find a major advantage, they would run away with the championship, and nobody wants to see that happen. So a lot of the criticism towards Red Bull is coming from the fact that last year was such a walkover for them, that, you know, people are wary that it might happen again. I know that, you know, the last thing we want to happen to the end of the season is to have Sebastian Vettel just wander off with the championship and have it all his own way. It looked like that might happen in Valencia. And thankfully, they've had their wings clipped slightly.
Yeah, but then equally, I mean, you don't want it to be changing the rules because someone is so dominant, because they've done really well.
Well, that's what happened over the off-season.
But mid-season. I'm talking about race on race basis. Oh my God, they're doing really well and leading the championship.
Hasn't happened this year. I mean, the rules are as they are. It's just that Red Bull chose to interpret them differently from the meaning of the rules, or the intention of the rules, is the FIA set them out. And they said, well, we're going to clarify this because you interpreted it differently to the way we meant it. But certainly over the off season, the rules were changed to try and stop Red Bull running away with it again. Because it was, you know, it was far too aero dependent, and it would have gone, you know, teams would have pushed it farther and farther had they known what Red Bull had learned in the previous year. Was that an English sentence? I think it was.
Was it an English sentence?
I think it was. In my head, it made sense.
They were definitely English words.
Hmm.
And it definitely had a full stop on the end.
If you listen back to that and thought, I have no idea what you just said, I'm sorry, but I know what I meant.
It's that. Is that a plane? I think we might have a plane situation here, people.
Okay, tell me what's going on in the comments. I have to laugh. I tried not to laugh at Stephen's pastor needed to curb his enthusiasm. I very nearly choked whilst talking then.
I like that Lou thinks I am Ted. I'm equal to Ted.
Is that about your technical explanation?
Christine equals Ted. Yeah.
Mm. God help us. Throttle thing is. Mm.
Yeah. The trouble is, I like to think that I'm playing it up a little bit and I'm not that stupid, but I really am.
You really don't have any more idea, do you? If genuinely try to explain to us what you think happened in the Red Bull throttle fiasco.
I know that it was to do with the suspension and...
Oh, the other one.
They
okay.
were... the throttle thing. Mm. No, I don't know.
Not a clue.
I know this one was to do with the suspension and they were doing something in Parc Fermé or something that they weren't allowed to, possibly. Or maybe not in Parc Fermé because you can't make any changes there. But and it was manual.
It was spotted in Parc Fermé.
Oh, okay. That's good. I got one of the words right.
I think it was noted that the car, the whatever it was, the ride height could be tweaked by hand. By someone. I don't know whether it was someone in the car or someone out of the car. I'm not sure which way around it was. But either way, the FIA said you're not doing that without some kind of component to help you.
I know the throttle thing is that they only get so much of the... They put their foot on the pedal and only get so much of it back, and then the rest goes over for the downforce.
So that was the previous one. That was the throttle thingy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that does make sense to you.
Well, if those words I just said make sense, yes, then that is my understanding of it.
That is, as I understand it, that was a perfectly good explanation of it. You put your foot down halfway, but the engine was going full on, effectively. And therefore, the excess gases were just being blown over the rear of the diffuser and not being used to power anything. It was just burning fuel, I think.
But I don't get to see Ted anymore.
No, who's Ted? Ted who?
Unless it's like a clip online, which I can totally watch.
My sole interaction, interestingly, this year with Crofty is via 5 tweets that I've seen him tweet. That's it. I couldn't tell you anything about him at all. I've not heard his voice for months. I haven't seen Ted in a very long time. And it doesn't matter, actually. You know, I would have thought losing Crofty and losing Ted from Formula 1 would have been
I think, Gary Anderson, he's actually very good.
Gary Anderson, yeah. I remember,
he's no Ted, but
he's
very good.
I recall at the beginning or even at some point over the off-season, over Christmas time, whenever Gary was confirmed and Maneep said, I'm so jealous of the BBC viewers for getting Gary Anderson because he was losing him from the Irish coverage.
Ah.
And he said he is better than Ted. And I, at the time, I thought, you are joking. You cannot claim anybody is better than Ted, but actually, having seen him for 6 months, he's really very good.
I think he has better knowledge than Ted, but sometimes it's a bit much for me.
I mean, the difference is Ted has never designed a Formula One car, and Gary Anderson has designed a Formula One car. Lots of them are very fast ones. So the technical knowledge, but also the just the experience and you know, the age is some factor of it, but also just the fact, you know, if you're in there, Gary Anderson was working on Formula One, he's worked on A1GP, he's worked on loads of stuff. He has also uniquely the ability to communicate that in a vaguely comprehensible way, which is good.
She says it's free on the website. We need some links.
Yeah, I
need some links then. You don't have to look. He's dead to you, but.
He's not dead to me, it's just I'm just not that bothered. You know, when it's just... No, no.
Aw.
Poor Ted.
Poor Affinity. Bye-bye, Affinity.
Yeah, this is interesting. But if you'd have asked me 2 years ago, what would Formula One be like without Ted Kravitz and David Croft, I would have said I wouldn't watch, because they were the best things about Formula One to me. And you take them away, and it didn't even factor. I didn't even think about it. Like, oh...
I think what we're learning this show is that you should never make snap decisions, because you were going to quit because of Schumacher and we've had the best race ever. You would have quit because of no Ted and you don't even care anymore.
Wrong. Ted who?
Sweeper, please, unless you have anything else to say about the race, which...
No. Nope, nothing at all.
Whilst we've been busy spending our summer break watching sports, Jenson Button has been planning a sport. He's set up his very own triathlon. Now, we know he is a big take Parter.
A big take parter. That Jensen button.
I might do that
such
again.
Such a big take parter.
Participant, that is the word. Oh, it's been a long day, people.
We need a Gary News jingle. We might need a Gary News jingle. Take I wonder part. If we can make something interesting. Anderson answers.
That's really embarrassing.
A big take parter. Sorry, what?
That is really embarrassing. My brain has actually stopped working.
Oh, that, see, if that was debrief, that would have been an outtake. But no, it's an intake.
There are no outtakes on the live. God. Right.
I don't know if you can recover from that. I don't know if there's any way back from Jensen Button. We know he's a big take parter.
You wouldn't know that English was my first language, really, would you? You talked about.
I wouldn't know that you've been podcasting now for 6 years, no.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm not going to recover.
I'm not
helping. You.
I'm just because the comments caught up, and so I just laughed at the comments. Anyway, right.
I'm going to do that again. I'm going to try anyway. Participant. That's the word. Right. Whilst we've spent our summer break so far watching sport, Jensen Button has been planning one. He set up his own triathlon. We know he has been a constant participant in triathlons. It seems to be his hobby of choice, which, considering he has to keep fit for his job, it's not a bad hobby to choose. Mm-hmm. But now he has set one up, and all the proceeds and everything are going to raise money for Help for Heroes. I think, is that the only charity? There might be more. It's going towards his Jensen Button Trust anyway. And it's going to be on this Sunday.
This Sunday. And where might he be... where might this be taking part? No, that's not. That's terrible.
You caught it.
Shh. And where... Oh, goodness me. I just couldn't. I hadn't changed my show note page. That's what it was. I was panicking and scrabbling, trying to quietly turn it over. And where on Sunday is this going on? Where's it all kicking off?
You want me to say? That's not fair. It's going to be held at Luton Hoo.
Who?
I don't know what that is. Luton Hoo, H-O-O.
Luton Hoo.
Luton Hoo.
Luton?
It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, so you've got to be up early if you're going to be taking part in that. And I think Channel 4 are going to be covering it. I don't know if it's going to be on Channel 4 on Sunday, but I think there are going to be cameras.
It's not live. Otherwise, we would have had a live thread and we could have all watched it and commented on it and et cetera, et cetera. It's going to be... it's a pre-record in association, I think, with Vodafone, which is interesting because this might be the first thing that a McLaren driver has done on their own, which involves Vodafone. I'm not sure. Maybe someone could correct me on that. But he's effectively taken a McLaren sponsor and got
stolen
them.
Stolen them.
And yes, blatantly stolen them for his own event. But it is for charity. It's Jensen Button Trust. It's for Help for Heroes. There is a text number. I think if you're not taking part, you can still. Stephen, I hit you. I was mid flow, Mr. Roy. I can't be expected to talk.
Earlier you were saying how much you loved the comments. Bit of a distraction.
Luton.
Luton who?
Luton. There is a text number. If you're not going to be at the event, if you're not going to be there, you can still text in. What is the text number? Actually, have you texted him?
I have not texted Jensen Button yet, no.
You have a phone?
Let me... yes.
Do you have a phone on you?
Yes, I do.
Can you text him now?
I can have a go. Let me say, if you are having a lie-in on Sunday, while these people, they start their 300-meter swim at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then they go 9 kilometres on a bike, and then for a 2.5 run. While you are,
2.5-kilometre run.
Yeah, sorry. Yep. While you are lazing around or doing whatever sleeping. You do on Sunday mornings, these people are going to be hard at work raising the money for charity. So you can go to justgiving.com/Jensen Button if you want to donate some money. Or you can text. You The number is 70070 and you text HERO655 to give £5.
I would like you to do that now. Can you do that live on the show?
Yes, I can.
If you have your phone to hand. How much do texts cost?
It's to give £5.
Okay, right. So that's what I'll take from you. Good. That's good. I would like it if you did that now.
This is not very good audio, though, because I've got my phone on silent, so it doesn't make any noise.
That's okay. I can be your witness. You can show me the phone in a second and prove that you've done that. If you listen to the show, you should definitely, if you've got a phone, because I'm getting used to this because I don't actually have one, but if you have a phone to hand and you listen to this show, make sure that you text Jensen Burns Cherry. It's a great thing that he's doing. I love that he's organised his own triathlon. It's one thing taking part in these things, but a whole other thing to organise your own event. Anybody who has signed up for it can race against Jensen, and there's an eliminator. It's effectively an eliminator, so that if you get through the heats, you get to race in the final. And I guess Jensen, being the guy who set up, will be in the final. So you get to race against him more than once, and presumably it means you have to do the triathlon more than once. So everything you've just read out, the 300 meters, what is it, 300 meter swim, and the 9K bike ride and the 2.5K run, that's, you've got to do that more than once in a day. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, but it doesn't finish till 5 o'clock at night. These people are crazy. And £5 seems like a very, very tiny amount of money to donate to these absolute lunatics at Luton Who.
Luton Who? It says, thanks for your £5 donation to Help for Heroes. You can add 25... Oh, gift aid stuff. You don't need to know about that bit. It's going to be a lot of work for those people. I was just getting to a point where he's been tweeting about it so much, and I was starting to be like, oh, you know, shut up. But it's only this Sunday. It's crept up really quickly.
Yeah, it has. Did you see the tweet where he Jessica had the his legs on?
He's been cheating with these training leg things. They're like leg warmers, but massive, and they apparently they like pulse and massage your muscles back so you recover quicker from training. He's going to have a massive head start on everyone with all this extra work.
He is going to be the man to beat. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, we will find out before the Channel 4 documentary, obviously, who does well and who does badly. It'll be nice if somebody could beat him in his own game. That would be fun. But either way, anybody who's going to the effort to take part in this, it's a great thing. I hope he does more of them. I'm glad that he's got so much support. I'm glad that, you know, in the off season, there is a driver doing something interesting that doesn't involve crashing a car into a curb. And you know, this is great from Jensen, and I'm glad that he's doing it. I'll tell you what I do think was a missed opportunity was Jensen Button in the Olympics. Wouldn't it? Surely the guy could have got involved. He's a triathlon runner. He could have had a go.
Possibly.
Where was he?
Lou in the comments, who is our Jensen Button expert, she said he wants to make it annual. So I guess if it goes well, this could be an annual Jensen Button triathlon thing.
Do you think we can go? Is it too late? We could pop down there.
What, we don't even know where Luton Who is.
Oh yeah. We could find a map. Let's go down there. Let's go down on a Sunday.
I gave Jensen some rankings points for this triathlon business. But I also wanted to mention, and this is nothing, not on the same level at all, but I also gave points to Kamui Kobayashi, who I think we mentioned that he'd been tweeting a bit more recently since
he found his phone. Yeah.
He took a photo of a boat or something, and it said, time to fishing, which is just really cute. And then he followed it up with, let's one more fishing. Now, I think I might take up fishing just so I can say those
words. Let's one more fishing.
Time to fishing.
He's very sweet, but you never need to take up fishing. No. Never do that. Never do that to me.
There's a plane again.
We can wait.
Let's go one more fishing.
Bless you. I'm quite excited about the Jensen Button thing.
Why?
I don't know. I like it. It's unique. Can you think of another driver who's done anything like that?
Mark Webber.
Oh, yeah. Shut my mouth. Webber's so much better than that. He's been doing it for years.
Well.
Although every time he does it, he falls off his bike.
That is true. We'll have to see what happens.
The Jensen.
If Jensen Button comes back without an injury, then he is the winner.
Shouldn't Mark Webber be partaking in this?
I don't think he does triathlons, does he?
Doesn't he?
He does cycling. I don't know if he does swimming.
We know he does swimming because his recovery.
Does he do the running?
I've never seen Mark Webber run. No. You know what occurred to me when I was watching the Olympics?
I thought we weren't going to mention the Olympics again.
No, you know, in the live thing again. But when you know, they do the parade lap at the beginning, before the race, the parade lap on the flatbed truck, and they were just waving at the fans.
At the Olympics?
No, the Formula One drivers.
Oh, okay.
When the Formula, before the race, they have a parade lap and all the drivers get on a flatbed truck and they just wave.
I'm aware of the driver's parade.
It's a bit rubbish, right? There's just some people waving at you and you wave back. Woohoo! Great. And then they go back in and they get on with their day. Wouldn't it be more fun if the drivers had to run it?
Run the track?
Mm. Because not only that, you could get sponsorship for UBS. And it would make the event interesting because obviously the faster runners would do better than the slower runners. And like Massa's little legs would go against him. Same like Weber and Jensen Button might do better. So you've got a bit of a competition. Wouldn't maybe count for the championship, but you know, you could award like a secondary prize at the end of the year for the guy with the fastest time. And they could do the parade lap on foot. It will take a bit longer, but it'd be a damn sight more interesting.
Okay. They would be tired out by the time they got to driving, wouldn't they?
It's just sitting down. Get in the car and have a rest.
Okay. Interesting.
Not sure. No takers of that.
I think.
Don't think it'll catch on.
Standing
on the back of the truck is not very interesting.
No, I agree.
So I just want to spice it up a bit, and then you know, running.
Well, I'll tell you what is worse.
UBS are already willing to sponsor it.
It's not just standing on the back of a truck. It's standing on the back of a truck being interviewed, so everyone is facing inwards.
Mm.
That's the worst thing.
I don't know if it happens at every race, but I suppose it does. Yeah. So there's some local broadcaster will always jump on the back of the truck. It's just so they're so far away from the fans can't see anything anyway. It doesn't make any difference, does it?
It's another plane. Are we having like an air show?
It is. There is a lot going on. We'll just wait for a minute.
It's a bit dark for an air show. Anyway. Mark versus Jensen triathlon in Canada. Run the track, cycle 3 laps and swim the rowing channel. Pre-race build-up. Okay.
That would be hell of an event. They'd be dead for a week after that, but that would be a great way to finish on a Sunday. That could be a Sunday night thing. Instead of everybody gets on a plane and goes home.
I don't know how you're going to convince them. Like, you can't go home yet. Firstly, I would like you to run, cycle and swim. Then you can get on your plane.
Well, he didn't need much encouragement to create his own triathlon.
That's just one.
Canada's only once a year.
Okay. Maybe.
Mm, thinking outside the box, like.
Did you do a sweeper?
No. I totally don't know where we got to. I went off on one, sorry. Forgot where I was.
There's a running theme in this show about how quiet it's been in F1. But actually, it's lucky there hasn't been a lot of news because Autosport have introduced, you're only allowed to read 50 stories a month, essentially.
Oh, that controversial thing. Yeah. Now, I'm wary of discussing Autosport on this show because once we criticised their Castrol rankings and we got a whole bunch of grief and upset an awful lot of people down the Autosport way. Someone got irate and complained that we spent 10 minutes discussing or complaining about their feature. History actually proved us to be completely correct, and the Castrol rankings was a complete load of nonsense, which they've subsequently buried without a trace.
Is it still happening?
If it is, Autosport don't mention it ever.
No.
It may be, you know, it may be ongoing, but I think I stand by our criticism at the beginning, and I think that was proved to be founded. This is an interesting move from Autosport. I say this, I try and be polite and nice in case anybody might be listening. But the new plan from Autosport is, if you're an anonymous user, if you're not logged in, if you're not already paying for their service, you only get to view 50 news stories per month before they block you, before they stop you from reading them.
And then you're supposed to subscribe and you get access to everything.
Now, generally,
it's a business model that a lot of people have been trying out. A lot of newspapers have been going that approach when they've started up their online versions.
Yes, and the problem, I mean, there is a couple of ways to make money online. You can make your money online with advertising to anonymous users. That works reasonably well if you've got a lot of viewers. You can charge for access to a plus subscription, which Autosport do already. So you get extra content if you pay. That works reasonably well. And then there's this third way, which limits people to a certain amount of articles per whatever. In this case, Autosport say 50. The problem you have is, and I think this is the problem where they're going to become unstuck, Autosport news isn't very often news. a lot of the content they put on the site is press releases from teams. It is the transcripts from press conferences, which is just copy and paste material. That's, you can't charge. There's no value in that kind of content because you can get it anywhere else free. It's sent out by the teams. They're not, Autosport aren't actually doing any work there. Not that, you know.
For those.
Yeah, for that kind of content. So in amongst all that stuff, you've got news articles, which they perceive to have a value. But they have no way of differentiating between the stuff you can get anywhere else and the stuff they dig up themselves. And therefore, you're going to have, you're unfairly penalizing readers because they're reading, because you've not separated this content out. And crazily enough, Autosport already have a means of separating decent content out from the trash, and that's the Plus subscription.
Yeah,
and that isn't working.
The stuff behind Plus is really good.
It is fantastic. I would encourage any listener right now to pay for Autosport Plus. It is a brilliant service. So why isn't it making them enough money? Why do they still feel they have to do this as well? Why put more restrictions on top of an already restricted service? I mean, is it greed, or do they genuinely, I mean, do they just feel like they fancy getting rich off of Formula One fans who are now being forced to, you know, we're all paying for, you know, people are paying for Sky, so maybe they can afford to pay for more Autosport. Is that what it is, or do they genuinely need the money?
I don't think it's greed, because this is a changing business. They have the magazine, which presumably is getting less subscribers as more and more people flock online. And I think the whole concept of publishing and news is changing. So I don't think they're being greedy. I think they're trying to find something that works. It's just, it seems odd because they already have the paywall. The stuff behind there is brilliant. And then they're also going to limit the stuff that is not brilliant. I mean, there are things that they post that come into my inbox as press releases from the team. So why would I go there when I'm already seeing it?
Yeah, and fans who don't get those, I mean, not every fan is going to get those from the teams in their inbox, so they will go to Autosport, they will read this press release material. Nobody at Haymarket at all has put any effort into that, just to make that clear. Teams, press officers write the press release, they send it out, Autosport copy and paste it onto their website. That's a five-second job maximum. You cannot derive any value from that. But if you read that free content, you know, you will be marked as, that's one strike to your 50. And my biggest fear is that Formula One fans will go elsewhere to less reputable sources. And if you start sending Formula One fans to things like Planet F1, you're asking for trouble then, because if that's your only reliable free outlet for news, Formula One fans opinion of F1 is going to be significantly skewed from the worse, because we know that most of the content on their website is nonsense. And so therefore the entire Formula One community suffers because the news is less and less reliable.
Yeah, it's a really tricky thing, because I want Autosport to be brilliant. I'll pay them for going to the races so I don't have to, for giving all that insight, the amazing things that they do. They already charge me for that, so I don't know what else I can do.
No, we can encourage people to pay more, I suppose, but eventually we can only buy, you can only buy it once. You're not going to buy 10 subscriptions to help them. They are now, at last, finally promoting their digital magazine for the iPad. It's taken them a long time. They've had it for a while, but they didn't make much mention of it.
Doesn't have to just be on the iPad.
Or whatever. No, it's online as well, isn't it? It's on any machine.
Whatever you want.
The downside, the thing that I really, really dislike about it, is it's still trapped in the old publishing model, because Autosport, I think, is signed off on a Tuesday evening or maybe Wednesday morning, whenever they finish it and tick it and say, this is good to go to the printers. And then it goes to the printers, and then it goes to the shippers, and then it goes to the post office, and then the postman delivers it to your house. So there's this lead time between when it's finished and when it arrives on the doorstep. That's the legacy of paper. And the things that we don't like about that old method of publishing. In the digital world, there's no reason why the very second it gets signed off, it couldn't be sent out to your iPad. I mean, that lead time, that going to the printers, ink drying, you know, packaged and whatever they do to stick it into pallets and send it off around the country and, in fact, around the world, that's a massive lead time that just gets, you know, so essentially... if you're a digital subscriber, you're just waiting for the postman to deliver somebody else's copy to somebody else's door before you can read your digital magazine. So they've got this great idea and this great concept, but they're still restricting it by this old school way of thinking.
They don't want some people to get it first and others.
Why not? Stuff them. If you want the paper magazine, wait until your postman comes down your street and delivers it. I don't care. Why should I wait 2 days to get yours?
Spoil them.
It's insane.
You might tell them the news that they already probably know.
I just can't help thinking that they've got a great product that is just being hamstrung by backwards thinking. And why can't I have Autosport magazine on Tuesday night when the writers have finished it and the editors ticked all the boxes and said, "This, I'm happy with this. I put my name on this. Good to go." It should just come straight down to my iPad right there and then. Look at how fast GP Plus comes out. GP Plus comes out on a Sunday night. The second Joe, David and Peter say, "That's good." Boom, it's online. And everybody gets it at exactly the same time. Autosport comes out 4 days later. And that two of those days are just wasted days. The product is finished. It's just sitting there. It's so frustrating. So you're paying for a magazine you could have 2 days earlier, and that's still annoying. That's the only thing I don't like about it. So limiting people to 50 news articles is not a good idea. I hope they rethink it. I hope they learn. It's a month trial. It goes really badly and it just goes and it's gone, because I think it's bad for the Formula One community generally. And I just wish the magazine was better than it currently is and that more people subscribe to it that way.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how this develops. But I hope that it develops well because I want Autosport to be around. They do come up with some good content. They have a good magazine and I want that to keep going.
Good. Like that.
Do you think you'll get told off for that?
It was as polite as I could be. I can't be any more polite. I don't want to, I think you're sticking two fingers up to the Formula One community, and I think it's going to come back and bite you. That's really what I think that they're doing. But we'll see. It might turn out to be a really bad idea. They have rescinded on their the first week, the first day.
When they messed it up.
The first day they did
I locked
you out. I wanted to say on the 1st of August, what would happen if
you went to every single person with the internet you could find and you locked everyone out just to test it?
I was testing it. So what happened was on the 1st of August, when they brought in this new paywall system, I downloaded 50 articles just to see, because I like to.
You read them all?
No, there was old stuff. I'd already read it, but I downloaded them again to make sure that it logged me, and that locked me out and said, "You've read your 50. You can't have any more." Okay, that's fine, but. What I didn't realise is it logged anybody out on any network I happened to be logged in on, which meant you were locked out of Autosport because I'd read 50 articles.
Yeah.
I went to work and everybody on my floor, and well, presumably everybody in the office in my work was locked out of Autosport because I'd read 50 articles. And then I went to another place and did the same thing. I just basically spent the whole day just kicking people out of Autosport. And eventually they backed down on that and they realised that was like a technical glitch, or they didn't mean to do it. So that's good that they've rolled that back. Let's hope they can roll back the whole thing in its entirety. I don't know. It's just bad for... It's bad, really. I think it's a great opportunity for James Allen. That's the best... The only complimentary thing I can say about their paywall is that if you're a blogger and you've got... if you're doing it full-time and you've got an advertising revenue, you can make more pay views as a result of Autosport.
Yeah.
Good telling people.
It's just worrying, isn't it? Because we need the people at the races. Uh-huh. Otherwise, you just get nonsense eventually, there'll be nothing coming out of there.
Yeah.
There won't be any people.
I mean, I cannot imagine a Formula One world without Autosport.
They'll find a way.
It would be terrible. It would be absolutely terrible. So whatever happens, I hope they make it work. But their current decisions are...
questionable. I was going to say, I think a few comments ago, Pat said that the magazine has improved again. It got dire for a while.
Quality-wise.
Yeah, but he says it's improved again.
There is...
I might buy a copy.
I've got a copy. I've got this week's here. Do you want to have a look?
Oh, no, I'll buy my own.
Oh,
give them some money.
Well, I'll tell you what, I bought it because they are improving their iPad app. The current one doesn't work on the latest iPad 3. I think I read somewhere on their forum because nobody at Haymarket had bought an iPad 3. True story. This is what they said. They said whoever was working at only had the iPad 2. So they couldn't develop an iPad 3 app, which is a shame when you've got a company as big as Haymarket not willing to sell like £400 for the latest. Anyway, it was unreadable on the iPad 3, so the new version, I hope, will be better. So we'll see. But I did buy it today to see if it had improved in it, it's still actually quite unreadable. Oh. In its current form.
PDF version then.
In its current form. If you've got an iPad 2 or an iPad 1, you can read it. If you've got an iPad 3, you'd actually, it's actually pretty awful.
Because of the retina. Mm.
Okay. Mm. The screen is too good for autosport.
Gotcha. Right?
But they're working on it. Yeah. I don't know when, but it's in the pipeline.
Another sweeper, please.
Okay. Can I just catch up with the comments?
You may. Silence.
No, falls. Yeah. I just wondered, no,
he's reading. He can't. He can't multitask.
Yeah. No, I'll have to find the forum link. It's true. There was somewhere. I don't think I made it up. Someone said we can't make it work on iPad 3 because no one will buy us one. What am I looking at?
Nothing.
No.
Maybe it was that conversation you were having on the Twitter.
No, it was it's on the forum. It's public. Oh. It's definitely there. It's like I'll find it. I'll dig it at the end of the conversation. Remind me. Make a note of it now.
I've heard of not making things backwards compatible, but not of not making it current compatible. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's not fair because it is a massive change going from not retina to retina, isn't it?
Yes.
You spent ages working everything out for the site and everything. You were just well ahead of the game instead of playing catch up.
I guess that is the difference. Side podcast, we started working on the retina version in October or November. October. Thinking about it in October. Maybe even before that. It's just, you know, it's not that. The thing is, it's not their core business, I guess. It's like the magazine on the iPad is just an additional thing, and I guess what they need to do is make it their core business, make sure it's the most important thing. To me, it's
one of, at least.
I would absolutely right now, if I was them and I know nothing about the publishing industry, prioritize the digital magazine over the paper one, personally. Now, I say that mostly as a consumer, but also because I can see where it's going. And long term, whatever you do, it's paper isn't the future. So whatever however they manage to figure it out, hiding the digital version as they were until this week isn't a sensible strategy. And this week, it's front and center now.
And that doesn't mean that the paper version will go away. But
I'm not saying kill the paper version. Just yeah. If you want to stay in business for the next 40 or 50 years, paper isn't, you know, what's Autosport's, what, 60 years old now? What's in 60 years' time? It's not going to be paper. That's not the future.
Anyway. If you've reached your 50-story limit on Autosport and you're looking for other things to read over the next few weeks, SciPodcast has a bumper crop of amazing guest posts. Since the Olympics began, I haven't had to do anything. I haven't had to write anything. All I've had to do is read because people keep in sending amazing things for us. It's brilliant.
You have become an expert, an absolute star when it comes to sub-editing.
Yeah.
Because all I've seen you do for the last 2 or 3 weeks is sub-edit other people's work. The breadth and depth of content is staggering. It has to be said. It seems like every single Fuff show we compliment the guest writers. But seriously, the last 2 weeks, above and beyond the Call of Duty.
Well, it got to the point where people were emailing in guest posts, and I was like, yes, we'll get this up over the next few days. We've got a bit of a backlog. And
there's
remember the last time that happened. But we've had driver analysis posts, track day reports, regulation reviews, poetry, and even a peek into space.
It's been incredible. Look, check out the Side Podcast homepage. There's so much good stuff on there.
If you're
bored over the summer break, Side Podcast doesn't charge you to read this stuff. Make sure you enjoy it. Make sure you leave a comment. Leave some feedback for the writers, because at the moment, and this is all entirely my fault, but at the moment, it's hard to gauge what people think of it's hard to gauge how many people are reading your work. Without comments. Comments is the only direct feedback any writer has. We're working on ways to make sure that people can see what, you know, what the most popular articles are, what the most read articles are. We've got lots of stuff coming down the pipeline.
One of those counter things on the site visitor, you know, like the 1990s. That's exactly what you need. One of the most recent guest posts was all about a certain SciPodcast community member's visit to the Hungarian Grand Prix. And you specifically wanted to mention this because you want me to say his name, but I refuse. We've had this conversation.
Oh, is this Ewan?
We've had this conversation many times, and the lovely person in question is the one who corrected my pronunciation and ruined my illusions of Guido Vandergaard's name, which is, doesn't sound anything like that. And so I refuse to say his name because I'm bound to get it wrong. But you want me to, and I'm not
so going what, are you just going to refer to this person as a certain side podcast community member?
Yeah.
Isn't that a bit wordy?
Yeah.
Are you not even going to have an attempt at what you think this person's name might be?
Begins with an H.
Okay. I did mention on Twitter that I would get you just say his name. Are you not even going to try?
No.
Can I bribe you?
No. There's other great things happening on Side Podcast in the future. Obviously, we've got this Feet Up Friday show, and that'll be edited and on the site soon. Presumably, we're going to try and do more of these without any breaks for a while. I can't think of any more super-duper sporting extravaganzas coming up.
I'll tell you what, I can't think of anything to say in the next show if we do one next week.
I'm sure there'll be something.
I'm not betting on too much Formula One news happening in the next 7 days, but we can give it a go. I'm up for another one.
We'll see what happens. The Side Podcast Hangouts will return. They had a couple of weeks off because everyone was talking in the other threads, but that will be back on Sunday. So you can come along for 3 hours and just discuss whatever you feel like. So that's good. And we've also got coming up very soon a SidePod Film Watch, SidePod Film Club, which we haven't had for ages. This time we're watching Days of Thunder.
Aha! Now, you've never seen that film before, am I right?
I have seen it before, but it was a long time ago.
Same with me, yeah. And it's been years and years and years.
Whenever I think of it, I always say, I feel the need for speed, which is the other one.
Okay. So this won't be a completely unique experience for you, but I am looking forward to it because I have missed the Sidepod Film Club.
If you don't know what that's all about, really it is a thread and we specify a time and then everyone turns up and watches the film all at the same time. And it's great fun.
And we come along vaguely in sync.
Yeah.
It tends to get a bit ropey towards the end, but we start off with the good intentions and we see how far we get.
Yeah.
And when is this? What day is this?
It is not this weekend, but the one after.
And it's on the Saturday evening?
Yes, at 8 o'clock. There's a post on the site and I'll put a link in the show notes, but I can't remember the date exactly. This weekend, if all that wasn't enough for you, we're going to have the second edition of the SidePod Jukebox.
I love the retro, yeah.
Which is where
I'd almost forgotten we had that.
We have a look back into 5.5, almost 6 years of podcasting archives, see what ridiculous things we've said.
Yes. Well, we don't need to look that far back in the archives to see what ridiculous things you've said.
10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I've got.
There was one more thing, was there not? One more event?
No, that's it. That's
all I've got. Okay, cool. That's a show. That's a show and a half.
We need an end.
Yeah, we could do with an ending. I guess we're going to go... Okay. If that's us done for another week, and if you are volunteering us to come back in 7 days' time, I best keep an eye out for anything that might be worth discussing for an hour's-long show.
Yeah, don't forget that you can always send your feedback to us. You can email me, christine@sidepodcast.com. We're on the Twitters. You have stolen the @SidePodcast name, and I have @MrsChristine. Or you can contact us via the contact form, which is, where is it again?
SidePodcast.com/contact.
That's the one.
That's okay. I'm happy with that ending. You mean person. You set me up for that. I wasn't where I was going with it at all.
Sorry. I stepped right in there. I elbowed you out the way.
What we didn't do was, I was going to say somewhere along the line, I forgot to say, if you fancy writing a guest post, that's why I couldn't remember where it was. Hold on a second.
The guest post submission thing.
Yeah. Oh. I should have found, I wasn't prepared for that. So sidepodcast.com/about writing a guest post is the URL. If you haven't written anything with Sidepodcast in a while, you're missing out because we have plenty of fantastic authors and you might want to join them. You might want to join the ranks. If you have anything interesting to say,
I like it.
Bored over this holiday and you fancy writing rather than reading.
If you fancy saving me, oh dear.
If you fancy saving Christine.
If you fancy saving me from having to use my brain, because clearly it is broken, that would be great.
Don't let her near a keyboard, people. Help me out here. Yes.
So, yeah, that's it. We've been chatting for ages.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Happy with that?
Oh, I think so.
Good. I meant to say hello to JW because he popped along.
Yeah, he said something funny.
Did he? Okay.
Hold on, let me find it. Hold on. Oh, yeah, because I said we had a running theme of not enough news, and he said it was a running, swimming and biking theme from when he just tuned in. I like
it. It's a triathlon theme. Yeah. Yes.
That was funny.
Running and fishing.
No.
Future sports. We need a guest post about Rubens. I'll tell you what. Here's the thing. And I commented this, but in the Olympics thread, but after the closing ceremony, or during the closing ceremony, they played the Brazilian national anthem for Rio, where it's going next. And everybody in the comments said, oh, we missed the Brazilian national anthem. Oh, wouldn't it be great to have Rubens back? Oh,
bring back Rubens.
There's not enough Brazilian national anthem in Formula One anymore. And not one of us, and there must have been 15 people in that thread at the time, not one single person said, Felipe Massa's still in Formula One? He might win again. No, not one single person. It took like 2 hours after the event. I thought, well, there's Senna as well.
It made me chuckle because you came to bed at whatever ridiculous time that you do in the morning and said, what about Massa? I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It was
playing on my mind. I thought, there isn't a shortage of a Brazilian national anthem. We're not missing it because Rubens is gone. Anyway, yeah, that just shows the impact that Felipe Massa has on Formula One fans these days.
A 2 o'clock in the morning wake up call. Well, what about Massa?
But we forgot Massa. He's important. He still counts. If he wins, they'll play his anthem. Anyway.
That's really bad.
So possibly what we really need is a guest post about Felipe Massa, if anybody fancies writing one, just so we all remember he's Brazilian.
Just so we remember that he's there. Aww. Poor
he's
Felipe.
Still with. He's still in with the shout. He's in a Ferrari. He's a better chance than Senna.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, rightio. Thank you, everybody, for joining us in the comments.
Yes, it's been great.
It's been
fabulous.
Brilliant, actually. It's been fantastic. Yes.
Indeed.
Yeah, that's it, really. That's all I got to say. Love you. Shall I play the music?
Are you giving a group hug?
Yeah, can I? Can I have a virtual big... Just a big stretch and a big...
big hug, yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Rightio. Talk soon, people.